Let's pray together. Dear God, on this beautiful morning, we're so very grateful for that all that we have ever needed, your open hand has provided. And we say together to you, thank you, thank you. Amen. So as our kids did, I invite you as well to open your hands in front of you. And I didn't plan this, but when we got to wiggle our fingers, that was a lot of fun, so let's do that. Yeah. In our first scripture reading today, we've been given the beautiful image of our hands. Did you hear that? Our open hands as a kind of central metaphor for understanding the life to which God invites us. All right, now I want you to close your hands real tight, shut. Notice that when our hands are shut like this, we're unable to share anything with anyone else. It's easy for us to hold on to our anger and our grudges and to refuse to forgive anyone around us. And notice how they also look like a fist. Remember, that just kept on coming up with our kids. All right, now relax and open your hands. And this is how we freely share with those around us. And notice that when our hands are open like this, we're also free to receive from one another forgiveness and grace and help, and from God as well. And this morning, as we're reflecting together, I want all of us to ask ourselves, what is the usual default setting in our lives? Open hands or hands closed shut? What is the default setting of each of our lives and of our shared lives together? So in our scriptures today, we hear the Bible's radical claim that we live in a given world from God, the open-handed giver. A lavish world of orchids and dolphins, redwoods and hummingbirds, humans of every shade and shape and hue, music and beauty, pandas, and as we heard today in our call to worship from the psalm, birds singing in the trees beside the streams. And of course, that's very precious to me because this is the week, end of April, early May, when the Baltimore Orioles are arriving here in Lancaster on their long flight from Central America. Walter Brueggemann says that our whole planet is funded by a generous and active God who has made creation as a gift that just keeps on giving and giving and giving, and that we are all on the receiving end of God's lavish giving. In fact, if God were to stop giving, we could not exist. To connect with this reality, let's all together now, breathe in and out together, a given breath. That felt good. Let's do it again. And let's say to God for this precious gift, thank you. Thank you. What if we said thank you every time we take in a new breath. Why not? Why not? And friends, our role in this world is to be stewards and caretakers of all of God's lavish gifts to us, to participate in God's free flow, circling of endless giving and receiving and sharing and healing, so that all creatures and all people may receive what they need to flourish. When all of God's resources are circling freely, there is no one ever in need. And our Lord Jesus, in particular, shows and models for us the open-handed generosity of our unseen God. With open hands, think about it, Jesus reaches out to the vulnerable, heals the sick, shares with the poor, breaks bread, and blesses the children around him. On the cross, what does Jesus do but open his hands to the world? And later, after his resurrection, what does he do again but opens his hands to his disciples to see that he is really with them? In his Sermon on the Mount today, Jesus invites all of us to loosen our grip, to be let go of our anxiety, and to trust that all will ever need, God's hand will provide. In my own life, at two very crucial junctures, going to seminary and wanting to adopt a child, we had absolutely no money. None. And through God's generosity flowing through the faith community, we were able to move forward with seminary and to move forward with growing our family. And our hymn of response today, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," I just want you to know that's the hymn that we sang to Jasmine on the first night of our adoption when we were rocking her to sleep. So it's a very tender and precious one for us. And I think because of this, over the years, open hands have become for me one of the most important ways of thinking about the Christian life, the Jesus-centered life. Because it's with open hands that we're called to love each other, to forgive and receive forgiveness, to make peace, to pray, and to share our resources. This past week, I was at a workshop at Parish Resource Center. It's a very, very helpful workshop on de-escalating conflict. And guess what one of the first things they told us to do was? Open your hands. Open your hands. You know, if you're in a tough situation, maybe in the community meal or out on the street, and you have your hands like this or like this, it communicates something that you don't want to communicate. But open hands communicates empathy, compassion, and just an openness to the other person that's really crucial. The reality, of course, is that we live in a world where many hands are often closed, shut, hoarding resources. Closed, shut in violent fists. Closed, shut in pointing and hatred and accusation. And I think this is one of the biggest reasons we need the church. To belong to a faith community that helps us to reimagine reality. To see the world as it really is with God's eyes. In the open-handed way that God intends for us to live. Gregory Boyle calls it remembering the other world in this world. Remembering the kingdom in this world. And to be able to see a world of abundance rather than a world of scarcity and competition. And so that's why here in our church, we band together to participate in the free flow of God's endless giving and receiving and sharing. Doing things, doing stuff together that we could never, never, never do alone. Think about it. On our own, it's easy to fall into apathy. But through creation care, isn't that a beautiful photo? Through creation care, we can plant trees along streams and along our city streets. On our own, it's easy to give up hope. But through community meals, we can share a warm meal and warm community with our neighbors. I think we should have a sign downstairs that says, "Peace on earth, good food for all." Peace on earth, good food for all. On our own, it's just easy to throw up our hands sometimes, right? But through Chestnut Housing, we can provide shelter for those who have been unhoused for far too long. Let's turn to our mission statement on the back of our bulletin. You'll see it highlighted in yellow. And as we read this together, I didn't notice this until this last week, how our culture of generosity pervades the mission to which God has called us. Just notice all the examples of generosity here. So let's read this together. Our mission as a congregation is to be transformed by God's mercy, grace, and love, to introduce our children and neighbors to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to equip one another to live peaceably and generously, to contribute to the well-being of Lancaster and the wider world. You know, I hear that and I just hear God's call for us to be a church of open hands. A church of open hands. And dear friends, none of this can happen unless each of us is giving in a regular and disciplined way. The Bible offers a variety of models for giving. Let me list some of them. Tithing a tenth of our income. Giving our first and our best back to God in gratitude and worship. This is called first fruits giving. In the early church, we see this lavish mutual aid so that there's never anyone in need in the community. And we hear the call to give according to what we have rather than to give according to what we don't. In short, the Bible calls us to mature, steady, disciplined giving as our worship and gratitude to God. It's very, very different from sporadic GoFundMe, give when Todd feels like giving, giving. And I also want to mention, nor is this kind of giving ever about earning our salvation or paying our way with God. Instead, it's about the privilege of being able to participate in what God is doing in our city and in our world. I don't know if we realize this, but in 2029, our church will be celebrating its 150th anniversary. Isn't that amazing? And all this past week, I've been asking myself, how can we continue to foster our congregation's long-standing culture of generosity? This has been a generous church. When I arrived here, I noticed it right away. So let me share four challenges for us all, including me. First, let us be a church where every household, every adult, every kid too, is giving. The steady work of our church requires steady givers. Second, make a monthly plan. The practice of first fruits giving is actually very helpful here. This is where, after every payday, we symbolically write out our first check or make our first electronic transfer as our act of worship to God and gratitude to God. Third, include your kids. Include your kids. Generosity is a spiritual discipline that needs to begin early. When we learn to be generous when we have just a little bit, we're far more likely to be generous later on when we have more. Our daughter Jasmine, when she was growing up, had three piggy banks in her room. Spend, she liked that one. Save, and give. And it's very helpful to nourish this mindset from the beginning. Spend, save, and give. Finally, regular giving requires us to rearrange our life priorities, which is actually what following Jesus is all about. If this kind of giving is new for you, I encourage you to move toward this goal over a period of time and to grow in your trust in God along the way. So let's close by looking at our hands one more time. You can wiggle your fingers again. If you forget anything about this sermon, I just want you to carry that image with you into your week and into your lives. Our Lord Jesus calls us to a life of open-handed living and giving and receiving. When we close our hands, this free flow from God comes to a screeching halt. But when we open them, the free flow goes on and on. I think here of our dear brother Clayton Charles, who at 95 is the oldest member of our congregation and is in his final journey home to God, even as we worship here this morning. For his whole life, Clayton has lived generously and open-handedly with all of us. Amen? Amen? What a generous man in his words of kindness. You know, Clayton, we were talking about this last week. He would always, for the preacher, think and listen very carefully so that when he went through the line, he could offer a generous word of appreciation for something specific in the service or in the sermon. That's the kind of generosity of his Spirit. And now at the end, if you ask any member of our pastoral care team, his response to many, many, many of the things that we talk about is just simply, thank you, thank you. Because all that Clayton has ever needed, God's hand has provided. Amen.